a lot of money went into the retention of judges or trying to not retain judges, depending on what side you were on. State Supreme Court Justice David Wecht, he gets 10 more years. He's on KDKA right now. Hi, Judge. How are you?
Hi. Good, Colin. I'm fine. How are you today?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining. Are you... Surprise might be the wrong word, but as it grew nationally and so much focus on the three of you, were you taken aback at how much national focus there was?
Not really, because I knew that there were not a lot of big races across the nation this odd year. I knew there was a governor's election in New Jersey and Virginia and not too much else. So there are a lot of folks around our nation who enjoy participating and feel it's important to participate, people from all sides of the aisle, and they had limited outlets for their interest this year, this cycle. So it's not entirely surprising that some of that would gravitate to Pennsylvania.
You speak of limited outlets and people kind of wanting to gravitate toward this. In a way, and I talked about this in the last hour, has it become too polarizing, too dangerous, and people, I don't want to say taking it too seriously, but people putting their whole worth into it? And for someone like you who's in the middle of it, did it ever get dangerous?
What do you mean by – I'm not sure what you mean by dangerous.
The hateful rhetoric and people who take it too far who are on either side.
I mean, there's a couple things I would say. Number one, the level of partisan acrimony, as everybody knows, has increased across our nation. It's very unfortunate. I think social media gives megaphones to extremists of all sides. People who used to have no amplification for hateful views get a bigger audience just because of social media. Now, I don't think that really played any role in this election. I'm not aware of a whole lot of violent rhetoric or even hateful rhetoric. I do think that in our nation, it's unfortunate that judicial elections have become viewed by so many people as just another partisan election, because judges are not politicians. There is a disconnect because in Pennsylvania, to become a judge, one has to be elected in a head-to-head partisan election. But the compromise that was reached back in the 1960s at the Constitutional Convention and ratified by Pennsylvania voters was that after 10 years, there would be a nonpartisan yes-no election that would not be partisan and that would be an assessment of the jurist's merit and their overall integrity and performance, not sort of a partisan litmus test. And I think the level of acrimony around the country, plus the campaign finance reality that we live in post-Citizens United, have put some pressure on that paradigm.
Certainly. State Supreme Court Justice David Wecht joining. Do you believe firmly that abortion rights and the right to vote were in jeopardy in this state, in this Commonwealth?
I think that's probably more of a question for folks in the political branches of government. Our court has made decisions in those areas. I think those decisions speak for themselves, and I feel strongly about the need to vindicate those rights under our Constitution. I do think that different judicial actors and different actors in the political branches of the government have different policy views on those issues. But I think the Constitution protects those rights, and that's what our court has done in the past.
What did you learn maybe coming up through family court, or what did you learn maybe in the infancy of your law career or throughout your career that's applicable now, Judge?
Well, I think that one thing I learned in my years in family court is that there but for the grace of my wife go I, because I am so glad my wife tolerates me. There are so many sad stories of marital acrimony in family division, and it is very sad, especially to see what children of these couples go through in the custody battles. I learned that a lot of times petty disputes can be blown up into larger and larger tensions and ultimately become quite explosive. So I learned about a lot of human drama and a lot of human sadness. I think that every judge at every level is a better judge tomorrow than they are today, and a better judge today than they were yesterday, because with every day of experience, one gets a greater insight into the human condition as well as greater wisdom in the law. And I think that one of the nice things about the decision that Pennsylvania's voters made yesterday was that they kept three experienced justices on the bench rather than tossing them into the trash heap, which would have robbed the Supreme Court of the perspectives the three of us have gained over many years. And we're still gaining them, and hopefully we'll be better tomorrow than we are today.
And last thing for you, Judge, is this. You said something a few minutes ago that was troubling in a way, is that too many people don't see judges as sort of neutral arbiters. How does one get the bench back to a place that becomes nonpartisan?
I think that more civics education is critical. I know that judges at all levels are making more and more attempts to get out into schools and out into community groups and talk to people about our courts. I think it's really important for the school boards of our school districts to demand that educators and principals place a civics curriculum before the students. In this country, we used to learn about separation of powers. We used to learn about judicial independence and the rule of law. And kids are not being taught these things anymore, and so it's not entirely surprising that kids grow up to be adults who think that judges are just politicians in black robes, and that's not what we are. We have a duty to interpret the Constitution and laws and apply it to the cases that come before us, and if we don't understand and have a respect for the rule of law in our country, then our future as a nation is imperiled, and we risk falling into chaos, which always ends up in tyranny.
David, you're a good man. You have 10 years in front of you to do this again. Congratulations, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Colin. I appreciate it. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Good stuff. State Supreme Court Justice David Wecht right there. And I think he makes a stellar point, an incredible point, that a lot of people need to be educated on precisely what judges, particularly at his level, not the magistrate level, but at his level, what they do. 866-391-1020. All right, big thanks to Justice Wecht. I really do appreciate it. Oh, tomorrow at about this time, 3 o'clock, Senator Dave McCormick will join the show. So there is that. That's tomorrow at about 3:05, Senator Dave McCormick on the show. I appreciate talking to him. He's always a wonderful guest. 866-391-1020. That's the number. 866-391-1020. I'll give you the problem with Republicans in just a little bit. Also, 4 o'clock hour. Did you hear the story about the hospital staffer, the nurse who was assaulted in Altoona? It's an awful story. We're going to go over what happened and how we can protect people who are so vital to protecting us and helping us out. That's at 4 o'clock with somebody who's a representative up there. This guy's in bad shape, and all he did was go to work. Remember, there were people killed at a facility not far from where Margo grew up. I want to say in York there was a shooting not too long ago. We've got to do more to protect people who work in hospitals. We'll talk about that coming up just past 4 o'clock. Rich is in New Kent. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Colin. Hey, a couple of quick comments on what the justice just was saying. Number one is he was saying that the justices, he basically said that the justices really don't have anything to do with abortion or voting rights. It's the legislators that do. And the justices have already had a history of violating the Constitution because of Act 77 and the Powers Act that Wolf took whenever he was during COVID, as far as adding the 3 days and et cetera like that to the 2020 election. So they already have a history of not following the Constitution. And another one is he said...
Yeah, I'll stop you there for the no excuse mail-in voting and other changes to the election code gets dicey. It certainly does, Rich. I agree with you in Act 77.
Correct. And the three justices being thrown in the trash is not the case. All they would have done is put them back on the ballot, and they would have had to run on their record of voting. They wouldn't have been thrown into the trash. They would have had to get reelected, in other words. They would have been put back on the ballot and say, hey, this is who we were, and this is how we voted, and this is who we are. And does Pennsylvania want us to stay another justice for another 10 years instead of just granting it to them and giving it to them for another 10 years? I know that it sounds like it's mixing and matching, but that's not the case because nobody ran against them.
Right. Well, let me interject, and I think we're decently on the same page here. I said, and I said this yesterday on the show, Rich, I don't know if you're listening or not, but the way that I see this is, and it ended up working out for them, but I thought it was a fundamental flaw to lump Donahue, Daugherty, and Weck together as sort of a package deal from a campaigning standpoint, from a money spending standpoint. It ended up working out, but it then made people think that all three were aligned in totality with every single ideal, all the rulings, everything. And I think that can be dangerous moving forward, particularly with Donahue not being able to serve out the full term.
Mm-hmm.
It just...
And the last...
Go ahead.
Good. I was just going to say the last quick comment was that yes, we do need civics in school, but there are judges who are reflective from the bench, not from the legislation. There's judges who are making rulings from the bench that they have no reason to make. And that they don't have that standing to make.
No, I agree with you 100%. I know David Wecht to be a good man, and I know David Wecht in people I talk to in the law community to be a fair arbiter of the law. And sometimes that doesn't make the citizenry happy, but I know him in looking at the state and looking at the Constitution to be somebody to carry that out in fair form. At least again, in people that I talk to in the law community. Joanne's in Point Breeze. Hi, Joanne.
Hi. You know what? I just got that each one of those judges have their own thought process. And thankful and grateful, I was glad to hear Judge Weck. He explained, he talked about what he does and what he sees and how he reacts and shows guidance to the people that come in front of him. The other thing is, as far as hate, we can keep blaming it on everybody else, but hate is something ingrained that's been here since, if you look at our history, a long time. When these people start hating because they don't like what their candidate, I mean, you see there something is very, very wrong. And the last point I do want to make is, I wish the new mayor all the luck in the world, because I hope we don't have a host who talks about their boys and looking in every corner, crevice, alley, and puts it on the radio of how bad Pittsburgh is.
I don't do that.
No, it's not you. I said there is a host.
Oh.
So I'm going to see when that's going to come, how early it's going to come when we talk about my boys down there looking at, again, in every alley, crevice, and corner downtown. Here's... I go downtown.
Oh, you do?
I like downtown. I go to the theater downtown.
Oh, yeah?
I go pay my taxes downtown. I go.
Well, this is easy for me. I know you're not talking about me. You know why? I don't got any friends. So it's
but
easy.
Anyway, I go to the restaurants down there. So every now and then somebody will approach you, and you just kind of put them in their place, and they'll usually go away.
Yeah, keep it moving. That's what I subscribe to. You won't catch me talking about downtime for 4 hours. You won't. I keep it moving. I keep to myself. I keep it moving. And life keeps moving, and I generally turn out okay. 866-391-1020. One thing I cannot ignore, though, and I don't want people to get into the nuances of this, that, the other thing. This story in Swissville is crazy. It just is. We'll talk about that in just a little bit right here, KDK. I heard Margo talk about some traffic condition at Drake Road. I wonder if you addressed an envelope Drizzy Road, would it make it there? Would the post office have enough sense to deliver it to Drake Road? I don't know. It's a question for another day. 866-391-1020. Top of the hour, terrible situation at UPMC Altoona Hospital. And now it's found its way here. A nurse was assaulted. And we got to do better. We just have to do better. I'm going to talk to somebody in the vortex of all that. How can we can fix all of this? And we will talk about Corey O'Connor moving forward just a little bit. And so much more. But Dan in Mount Pleasant, I enjoy talking to him. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Colin. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
Hey, a couple points, if I may. I agree with the judge. We do need to teach civics lessons. And the first person that should be in that civics lessons are people that wear black robes that we call Your Honor. I mean, first of all, when you go to law school, they don't teach you what our framers and founders actually debated and discussed and what the Constitution says. The majority of these law schools teach case law. So a lot of these lawyers really don't know what our Constitution actually says. And I found it ironic. He's waving it around. But like your other caller said, when it came time for these mail-in ballots, we as Pennsylvanians had a say-so in that. You had to amend the state Constitution. And we, just like we had to vote yesterday, yes or no on him, I voted, I lost, I said no. He won. I'm perfectly good with that. But we had a say-so on that when it came into these mail-in ballots, and those guys blew it. And see, this is why I don't support a third-party system. To me, a third-party system is nothing more than people looking for government utopianism. What I support is a limited government. These constitutions, state or federal, these are designed to put our elected officials in check. Stay in your lane, bro. And these people go outside of it all the time. And that's why we have these horrific debates and arguments, and people don't understand who's supposed to do what.
Well, here's the thing, though. Let me interject. I do think that your point is well taken for people who, as you place them into that third party, but there's another group looking for the third party. And it's people who maybe formerly were in one of the two parties and don't agree with the fringes of those parties, the ones that exist, Dan.
All right. My biggest problem with the third party is when it comes time to vote for president, you have to win the Electoral College. You bring a third party in and pulls drastically from both parties, you're going to have a situation where somebody's going to win the popular vote, but nobody wins the Electoral College. The 12th Amendment will kick in and Congress will pick the president for you. I think that's some of the things that need to be discussed on a third party.
Certainly. Would you agree, though, that right now has become so polarizing it borders on dangerous for people?
I agree, and that goes back to that civics lesson, because a large percentage of American people do not understand the roles of our elected officials. I'll give you a perfect example. President of the United States is the commander-in-chief of the military. He is the executive branch. The executive branch is one person. So when he goes and fires somebody, people throw their arms. We need that. He's the chief executive. He's authorized to do that. He's also the chief. He's the head of the military. He can go hit those boats all day long. Congress's power is to defund him. Now, people don't seem to understand that, and they get all upset, and then we're all yelling at each other.
No, I don't disagree. Same thing with what happens with the National Guard going into cities.
It's just like the tariffs. Okay, yeah, the tariffs, the president's using that to conduct foreign policy. That has gone back to the beginning of our republic. Alexander Hamilton spoke all kinds of stuff and heavily supported tariffs because they wanted to protect the industries within the country. That doesn't come up on a lot of these discussions. And it's going to be interesting to see how the Supreme Court rules on that.
No, I agree with you. I do agree with you on all of that. And you may be right in terms of the civic lessons. kind of hitting home, and judges need to look in the mirror more. But that being said, they also have to, and do by and large, adhere to the Constitution, whether state or federal. And that's where the rub comes in, where it isn't all that, it's not really pliable at all in terms of ruling. Betty's in Plum. Hi, Betty.
Hi. They do teach civics in high school. There is a state civics test that they can take, the schools can have the kids take. It's not required for graduation like the Keystone proficiencies, but there is a state civics test that schools give out.
You know, I think all standardized testing like that is garbage.
Oh, I get that, but there is a test. They do teach the civics in high school.
Wait, yeah. So let me get this straight. So it's one that is not mandatory then. Who would elect to take such a test?
The schools give it out, so it's not like the kids are electing to take a test.
Okay, so wait a minute. So now I'm confused. So you say the schools give it out. So what part of the curriculum is it folded into? Like, is it a standalone standardized test? Is it part of?
Yes.
Okay. So when do they give this?
Each, after they complete the civics class, each kid in high school, they take a civics class.
Okay.
And it's a year-long class.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can give the test at the end. I'm a school teacher.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah, so they take the test. It's not required for graduation that you have to pass it. Like the Keystones have a proficiency requirement, and if you don't pass them at proficiency, you've got to jump through hoops in order to be able to graduate high school. So it's not clumped into that kind of testing, but it is a test for civics.
Okay. But again, and I'm still lost here. Then what if you don't pass it? Then who cares?
Well, until the state decides to make it mandated to pass it, I get it.
What's going to happen whenever the state makes it mandated to pass it, or even now, are people going to file for religious exemption or do this or do that, and people are going to find a way to have their kid not take it?
So people can file for religious exemptions, like with the Keystone test, but not even a handful of kids do I see that don't take the test.
See, what is problematic, and now we've opened a different can of worms, Betty. What is problematic are too many school districts that give such tests, and the means to the end is funding from the state, and they feel compelled to do it, and then they feel compelled to give lessons and tune their curriculum to kids doing well on standardized testing as opposed to kids doing well so they actually got the lesson.
I agree. There is that avenue where you teach to the test, but they do have the civics class for the kids.
Gotcha. No. I gotcha. And you're getting back to what State Supreme Court Justice David Weck said, that they need to put it in to practice in schools, and you're making the point that it is part of the curriculum. I get that. I understand that. But I do think, and that's a whole different conversation, but it is very problematic, I think, that schools teach to the test, and the end result is how much funding they're trying to get from the state as opposed to teach to the lesson. All right, I want to get into this Swissvale thing coming up next because, for me, it's pretty open and shut. I'll explain next. Here we are, 866-391-1020. Something ultra serious coming up at 4 o'clock. We have a guest. Awful situation at UPMC Altoona just a few days ago. A nurse was... they beat the hell out of this guy. And it shouldn't be that way inside of a hospital. What can we do to... now the nurse is in Pittsburgh Hospital. And we got to protect our nurses a lot better. We just do. All right, how about this story from Swissvale? So, Tamira has filed this story. It is a Department of Public Works character. And he is in some sort of road rage meets... talking a bunch of nonsense back and forth with some fella who looks like he's driving a truck, and it's on DPW grounds in Swissvale, and it goes down like this.
The video circulating online shows a Swissvale Public Works employee approaching driver Ross King Jr. around 5 a.m., yelling racial and homophobic slurs and threatening to fight him.
and get out your truck and get back
do
in your truck.
Do something.
Yeah, you're
do something.
Like a girl.
Do something. Like I said, do something. Do something.
In a statement, the borough said it cannot comment on disciplinary actions, but emphasized that this type of behavior does not reflect the values of this council and staff and will not be tolerated. The statement adds that Swissville took immediate action and will continue working to ensure incidents like this do not happen in the future. A public meeting is scheduled for tonight. Tamira Rush, News Radio KDKA.
Why, thank you, T. So that's the story. And I got the video earlier today. I posted it on social media. We've done a story from the newsroom, of course. Andy Lindberg, working very hard, got it up on the website. Tamira filed that story. We've carried it in our news updates. One thing I noticed in the comments, and of course, the comments are not an accurate barometer. I say that all the time, but you do have to pay attention to them because it's how the masses think. More than a few people have said, I need to see the entire video for context. All that's there is an 18-second snippet. Well, get this. I don't. You know why? I don't care what was done, what was said, who did this, who did that. When you got a white guy and he is paid on the taxpayer dime and he is calling a black man the N-word, and he is on the clock working for the township, in this case the borough, and it is undeniable what he did. I don't need some big, long, convoluted, involved investigation with lie detector tests, solicitors, borough council meetings, and everything else. My man, bruh, when you are on video calling a black man the N-word, you gotta go. See you later. Out. Talk to you another time. You have to go. So we have become a society, though, it's so weird, where people are just grasping for any straw and wanting to validate any terrible behavior. And that to me is odd. Like, when this first went up, and it's gotten a gazillion hits, I mean, not as many hits as Marty's Facebook page, but it's gotten a gazillion hits on our social media. And in looking at this, it blew me away the amount of people who wanted to offer more to the story. I don't need more to the story. You're paid by the borough. You called a black man something you can't call, ever. Not one time. You were caught on camera doing it. Turn in your stuff. See you later. Find another job. I don't care what union you need to call. I don't care what attorney you have to call. You can't work here anymore. Game over. And for the people trying to resist and ask for more context, it's just lost on me. It is. Top of the hour, we got to take care of our nurses, our doctors, our people who take care of us. This story is troubling, to say the least. News first, KDK.